to it.
That's Dave on the guitar, Fish and Frank on bass.
Dave.
The guy who's sunglass guy. Long hair.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we just sat back here and decided to play one day.
Nice.
Who's that on the drums?
It should be Josh Olive, but Josh Olive wasn't here. So we got to bring the drum set in. We'll get everything going and really do some neat recordings. But no, that's Dave, me on bass.
Have you ever been down there on Thursdays down there to...
No, I don't play well with others. You know that. I'm such a jerk.
But just to see it, it's kind of neat because Dave does a pretty good job down there. Although I've been down there once, but it's interesting all the eclectic
groups that
people down there.
Well, Josh and I are starting that at the house.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, see? So, anyway, yes, radio fishing. It'd be nice if we actually got to the fishing part of it right on one of these shows.
It's only a small part of the whole thing. You got to take it as a holistic view.
A holistic view?
Wow.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, yeah.
In a minute, he's going to be on the floor cross-legged with his fingers in circles going, the fish.
I only do that in the boat.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't work out too well, though.
All right. It's, as you can tell, probably Fish and Frank.
Both on there.
Fish and Frank, Robert, and Josh Olive. Okay, go away guitars. All right. And we've got all of us here today. We're going to do a fishing report. Yeah, I should have led with that. This is a fishing report.
There you go.
So, anyway, between the three of us, we should be able to come up with something resembling a fishing report. Where are we going to start, Robert?
Let's start in the upper river because it's going to be the fastest.
Okay. So, nothing going on in the upper river, I guess.
Unless you like to catch gar and catfish.
Gar and catfish up in the river. Now,
it's been a few oddball tarpon and a couple oddball black drum, but...
We've got our shark stingray and catfish tournament coming up.
Right.
Now, the cool part about it is those catfish that everybody's cussing right now, average first prize, $1,000. Yes, it is. $1,000 for that big catfish. And you are not going to believe this. You could pay $30 to get in. You get one shark, one catfish, and one stingray to bring in. And you can win as much or more than $1,000. I've seen it as low as $800 and as high as about $2,800, $3,000, I think.
Yeah, so, I think it was up there pretty high.
My wife is looking at me going, "You've lost your mind." She's going, "What the heck was that coming out of your mouth?"
No, that was just reinforcement.
Reinforcement that I'm actually, yes, I'm as weird as you think I am. Okay. We've got, but the
thing is, with
that's
the catfish,
June 14th.
Correct. Next week from tomorrow.
Thanks for the support. It's nice to be right every once in a while.
Right?
Yes.
You're right pretty regularly. I think in all the years, I've got maybe 3 or 4 marks on the calendar where I was right.
Yes, I know. I'm trying not to be an egotistical maniac. It's not working well, but I am trying. My word is law.
Pretty much.
Well, we are here in the bait shop, so that's pretty well true.
Pretty much is, yeah. There's no doubt.
Okay, but those catfish, everybody's cussing up there.
The sail cats. Sail cats and hardheads. You know, if you got the few oddballs, it might be way up there in some of those back springs that might catch a channel catfish, and that won't count.
Yeah, it's got to be a saltwater catfish.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
There's not much saltwater left below Navigator anymore.
No.
Artesian springs are all gone.
It would just be that one weird shot, though, that a guy would be fishing up there at the water treatment plant and catch the only channel cat around for 30 miles.
Yeah.
I mean, that would just be our luck.
I really don't know. I don't remember anybody bringing it. I think one time somebody brought in a freshwater cat for that.
Yeah, it was like one of those yellow cats. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, a long time ago. But anyway, it's all about these are saltwater species, stingrays, catfish, and sharks. And keep in mind, though, if you got 2 guys in a boat, you're allowed 2 sharks. 1 guy in a boat, you're allowed 1 shark. 3 guys in a boat, you're allowed 2 sharks. So if you show up with 3 guys and 3 sharks, you know, you're pretty much, you know, obviously you can't weigh any men, breaking state laws. And nobody wants to get a ticket for trying to win a tournament.
Hey, unless you're fishing from shore.
Yeah, if you're fishing from land. Now... land-based shark fishing is getting a big thing. And to me, The only reason anybody has a problem with it is because they can see it.
Exactly. I mean, it's one of those things where it's always, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind.
Yeah,
well,
I mean...
It's not so much that they can see it, it's that it's people taking videos and taking pictures and posting them online now. People don't really see the land-based shark fishing too much because it mostly happens at night, mostly happens on less crowded beaches, but when you take pictures and you show everybody, hey, here's what we do, then people freak out. Oh my God, look what they're doing!
Did you hear how people freaked out because it was like six baby chickens died in a postal box? And they're like, how could someone ship them? And they ship like, you know, a million chickens and pheasants and birds a day.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know, all of a sudden six died, and they're like, well, sorry, we don't know what happened, but, yeah. You know, we'll send you six more.
And nobody freaks out about the chickens getting sorted at the facility where the females go down the assembly line and the males get dumped into a giant hopper where they're turned into McNuggets.
Yeah, but I like McNuggets, so I'm all good with that. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. I guess I should be more upset about it, but...
I guess my point is nobody freaks out.
Right, yes. Right. But the whole thing about it is, you know, with millions and millions of people... And I don't understand why people have a problem with it. There, most of them, now there
because
are some
the reality
real jerks.
Of Jaws is right there. That's part of it.
Really? Yeah, I guess.
Dun, 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 dun.
You know, I probably even had that. You know, I wish I would have thought.
Yeah,
you know.
If you
see,
thought
that's
of that
why
before.
I need a good producer for this show.
I mean, God,
you need a producer.
God forbid people actually see that there really is sharks within swimming distance of them. You know, and I think it. Gets a lot more perplexing.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, they're bringing sharks to the beach. No, they're not. The sharks are already at the beach.
They're already at the beach. I mean,
No. You didn't hear about the testimony over at Delray Beach where those sharks do not swim in areas near shore until they're chummed to the shore by very dangerous shark fishermen who put baits out there in the water full of blood and oil, bringing sharks right there to where your children are going to swim?
Oh my God! Ah! God, I love this show. Just gets worse.
Jesus.
How goofy. People can be.
Stark or even lunatic.
Yeah, people can be a little dopey. But
I do feel like the sheriff from Jaws every time I go to the beach when the wife's swimming. I'm just standing there looking and watching up and down the beach for that one lonely shadow coming along.
Well, I got to say, we've done that before being out there because if you go out in June, May or June, and you know, you anchor the boat and you go swimming around the boat, usually we do have one person on watch because all of a sudden these big black bodies showing up, you know.
Exactly.
Right, and that's because you guys have hung shark bait off the side of the boat, right?
Yeah.
No.
To bring the sharks in.
Just us.
Uh-huh.
Just
right.
Us, yeah.
Now, I have actually a really terrific wife, and when we'd be out grouper fishing, she would jump in and swim and splash around until all the barracudas and the fish showed up, then we'd bring her back in the boat.
Does Terry know about this wife?
That was her.
Oh.
No, she's lived with me 28 years. She's actually really crazy. Yeah, no, she's nuts. So, you know, but you know, Terry's actually done that. I'm like, I don't get it. I'll do it. Splash around, bring all the big fish up.
Yeah. No, I'll pass.
So, what about the fish? Where are the fish biting, guys?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Fishing show.
Squirrel.
Report.
Squirrel.
See, that's why we asked you to sit in with us, you know? Keep us on track. We were doing Peace River, Sailcats. Let's go to
I-75. Going
black
to
I-75, drum.
Definitely a few more black drums. Some pretty big black drum. I've heard of some guys getting some up to, like, 45 pounds.
Yeah, some nice fish up there. Crabs,
which
shrimp.
Which is kind of nice, because what's it been? It's been a good 12 years or better since we've heard about black drum at both those bridges and the consistent numbers that we've been hearing them this year.
Yeah, I mean, everything has gotten a lot more consistent. It's really surprising to me how consistent the numbers are getting again, because the last time it was super consistent was before they put up these bridges.
Right.
In the first couple years after, everything was still good. And then we, for about 15 years, we didn't have any consistent
time.
And this has been real nice, real consistent. The canals over in PGI are holding a lot of black drum.
Right. But I think that's where a lot of them went when they left the bridges, you know.
I think the noise, the type of noise changed. The old concrete bridge that we had was... basically a concrete filled with dirt and the old original style, and it had a different noise level, and then they put in this new, the big archway bridges,
right.
And the noise level changed, and now I think they're just getting used to the noise level again, but it
right.
takes a while.
Sure. Well, the harmonics is going to be different with any of that thing.
That's a good word for it, the harmonics, because, you know, people always talk about which doesn't work, those little noisemakers to keep pests all away from the yard. They don't work, but animals hear on a different level than we do.
Totally.
And so I think it's just the noise change, and I think now they're used to that.
Right.
So anyway.
That's a great theory, but what can we use to catch the black drum? Does it have to be crabs like everybody thinks?
I think shrimp is just about as good.
Small, annoying publishers.
Small, annoying publishers. Where are you going to find a small one? I know where there's an annoying one, but I don't know where we're going to find a small one.
Sorry. All right. Blue crabs.
Aren't you glad you decided to join in, Josh?
Yeah, it's great.
He's ready to get back to your own radio show where you have some control, right?
No, he has
a little respect.
He has a Nerf gun.
Nerf gun.
Get out of control.
I do. I have that specifically for Captain Mike because sometimes he doesn't know when to shut up.
So
I just cap him.
Okay. So anyway, black drum.
Crabs.
Shrimp.
Blue crabs and shrimp, live or frozen. I like the frozen personally for the black drum, and I like to peel the shell off of them.
More stink.
Yep, more stink. And I mean, it's funny. They'll eat a crab in a skinny minute, but it seems like a peeled shrimp works better than a regular live shrimp or one with the shell on it. And it's pretty odd.
Yeah, well.
I don't get it.
More smell, I think, is the key.
There's been some whiting there. There's been a few small sharks, mixed sizes, like some baby bull sharks up there, up to like 3.5 feet. Oddball other guys, too. And then down to the 41 bridge, kind of the same thing going on, except for the early, early morning bite. There has been a little bit more cobia in the last couple days showing back up. They kind of did a little disappearing act there for the last week, but have started to show back up.
Ring. Yeah. Yes.
Yep. There's also been some tarp in there scattered around in the
hearing a lot more about Josh, you were talking about a lot of blow-ups under the bridge.
That's what the guys are telling me. I a lot of people over there at the newspaper walk the bridge for health reasons, and they're asking me what these constant explosions are that they're hearing underneath the bridge. And you know, the best thing I can tell them is, hey, it's probably tarpon down there ending the lives of small things. Yeah. So enjoy that while you're trying to walk your way to fitness, and I'm going to find a way to get up underneath that bridge and try to catch something.
Right,
if we let him talk much longer, we're going to have Delray committees here, ending the lives of little things, destroying life as it's known in the water.
Yeah, exactly. But the
God, I love it.
There's been some good.
They're bait fish, not puppies.
Yeah, well, had to bring that in.
Yeah.
That's good. That'll help.
Hey, you guys were the ones who wanted to use me for black drum bait. So.
Well, that's true, but you're not a puppy either.
He is kind of cuddly, though.
I got go, guys.
I'm with you. I think Robert's taking a turn here. I'm not sure where he's going with this, but let's go to the Port Charlotte canals.
Over along from the 41 bridge, following along the beach over towards the Port Charlotte canals, the cobia have been running along there. A few oddball tarpon, a lot of miscellaneous sharks on the outside on that whole mud flat along there.
And I mean, actually,
from
it seems
foot
like
all the way up to like 6 foot.
And it seems like the fishing's better afternoon or early evening.
Yes.
I don't know why that is, but it seems like the 4 or 5 o'clock till, you know, just a little after dark has been the best time to be over there.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because the tides have kind of switched around. They've been a little bigger tides at night the last couple, probably 4 days, so maybe that has something to do with it. Right up inside the Port Charlotte canals, they've really started to slow down. Most of the action has been within the first eighth of a mile of each canal from the opening of Alligator Bay, with the exception of
the Pelham
Waterway.
Yeah, and that's got a lot of activity all the way in the back. I think it's so far back the fish are lost.
Yeah.
I think they just don't know where to go. I mean, hey, I'm trapped back there. Which way out? Okay, heading up around.
There are a lot of juvenile tarpon, though. I will take that back. There has been quite a few juvenile tarpon in like Edgewater Lake, Spring Lake, East Spring Lake, West Spring Lake, both of them for that matter. And then also up there in the Pelham Waterway. I mean, of all sorts of sizes, you know, from 10 pounds to 80 pounds.
Yeah, there's always seems to be a nursemaid. It's either one too old, too lazy to go swimming across the Gulf, or that's the protector or the teacher or something. But there's always a big one with all those little ones. I don't know why that is. But anyway, going up to the Micah Cutoff.
My cutoff has been still quite a few scattered redfish up inside there, some snook. Fairly quiet overall. It's mainly been a real early morning bite or a late in the evening bite, you know, like you were saying, you know, that 5 o'clock until an hour after sunset. Been really good for those, but it's still been hit or miss.
Okay. Now, Eljamine, Myakka River.
Eljamine's been really, really good at night and during the daytime.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. You were talking about good fishing. I just, you know, thought drag pull.
There you go.
Okay.
I'd like to hear that in real life.
Well, I guess we're going to go out and do some tarpon fishing here in a little while.
It's about time now, isn't it?
Yeah, and well, Josh talking, they're exploding underneath the bridge, so...
Boom. We can go now.
Right now?
Radio show.
Why not? But, you got anything
going? Guys, I'm sorry.
All right, hit the pause button. We'll come back.
Yeah. Let's finish the fishery report first.
Okay. Sounded good in theory.
Yeah.
Up around the Eljamine Bridge, there's been a lot of tarpon there scattered throughout the evening. Snook are still doing really good. Been some good-sized mangrove snapper. But that's all been a nighttime feed. The daytime feed's been really sporadic. A few spade fish have started to show up there. A few spade fish have started to show up inside there, along with oddball little sharks, a few cobia. That's been kind of during the daytime, but it's been hit or miss.
And mostly been working our way down the west wall, what's going on?
The outside edge of the bar, a lot of cobia, a lot of small sharks, some tarpon. That's kind of about it on that 4 to 10 feet of water range, and they're just up and down the entire thing, but it's been mostly early morning, late evening. Sharks are scattered everywhere. You can catch those all day long over there. On top of the bar, though, basically from the radio tower south, still getting some scattered reports of some permit and pompano. A few trout, they're not numbers by any stretch, but they're a little bit better fish. They're in that 18 to 23 inch, 24 inch range. And then underneath the bushes from the radio tower south, especially, a lot of scattered redfish. Snook have been kind of hit or miss. I think the majority of the snook have really started to move out more so to the coastal and beaches. Yeah. Yeah, there's still a few individual lost ones, or just I'm staying.
I ain't going any further. This is where I want to go. I ain't going no further than this. This is it. If you want to do something, come to me, baby.
Right. I swam from Snook Haven, and this is as far as I'm going
to
make it.
Yep. So it looks like the Gulf to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Swinging around Cape Hayes. I know the permit is still there.
Yeah, the Cape Hayes bar has been really, really, really doing well on both sides. The backside, mainly out closer towards the channel marker. And also right along the front side, along the trough there, going towards Turtle Bay.
There's big, huge snappers.
Big snappers. You got to find them.
Yeah, they're tough. I ain't telling you where they're at. You can go out and look. You'll find them. But that's one you got to look for. I mean, it's not that big a place. Take some time, look around. You'll find them.
Lots of little sharks.
A
few cobia.
Do you feel better now, Robert? Yeah,
real good now.
Get a Cuban rub.
All good.
Okay.
A little jalapeno popper.
Yes, that's what it is. See, why my son calls me racist?
You know, when nobody sees it, though, they have no idea what you're talking about. It just doesn't make any sense. It's
not supposed to make sense.
It's a total non sequitur on radio.
This is radio fishing. It's not supposed to make any sense.
Not all of it.
No.
What you missed is Robert was neck molested by a Cuban woman.
Yes.
Yes. But there's also been a lot
of... So did it make you feel better to explain it?
It did.
It did.
Because now they know, and knowing is half the battle.
Yeah, G.I. Joe says. Okay, now that we're done with G.I. Joe. Okay, Turtle Bay, sliding into Turtle Bay. Outside, lots of big snook. Inside?
Inside, I haven't heard a lot of good reports this whole week. I mean, I don't know if you've heard anything any better other than just some scattered redfish way up in the back along that deeper trough.
I locked myself in the room and play guitar for 3 days. I didn't do anything.
It's been a little quiet back in there. You know, the weather finally broke, so a lot of guys have been running all over the place just checking everything out. Mostly they've been chasing on the outsides of the bars because back in those back creeks, it's just starting to get a little bit too warm and inconsistent for the guys.
So getting over to Turtle Bay, or Bull Bay, leaving Turtle Bay, going across the islands into Bull Bay.
Same thing, you know, some of those deeper pockets are holding redfish, and then up by those fish houses, floating fish houses, in the very back side of Bull Bay. There's been some better redfish and a whole lot of little redfish mixed in with it. A few snook, some good mangrove snapper underneath the shacks there, mainly at the entrance there, both shacks on each side of the channel.
All right, if you're going to flip out and get into the outside of Kaopalu, between Kaopalu, Devilfish, and working your way down Gasparilla Sound, what's going on the tailing flats?
I would be looking for the snook. There's snook stacked and moving all over the place. There's been some guys seeing some 30-pound fish cruising around in there on a very regular basis.
40 inches. And Tallahassee, if you're listening, and I know you are, 40-inch length. Nothing under 40 in Southwest Florida. We want the snook, we want the slot limit taken out. We want them to go to 40 inches and up. Give us 40 to, let's see, we got what, 30, 20, 28 to 33?
Yeah.
So that's 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 5 inches. So give us 40 to 45 inches. That's where we want our slot limit.
Right.
We want, you know, basically,
let the breeders live,
let the old ones go. Exactly. You know, if I pass away tomorrow, it'd be a shame, but not that big a deal. I've had a good life. I've done a lot of stuff. But, you know, 12-year-old kid or 15-year-old kid, that's a real tragedy. But us old guys, hey, what's the difference? You know, we did our thing. Let's do the same thing with the snook. Let's 100% of them go through the slot. Let's get big fish.
Let them get a chance to at least breed once, for crying out loud.
Right. Let's get 100% of these fish through the slot. No more of this. And the West Coast Florida is great. We run 55 to 60% of our fish going through the slot. It's not enough. We want 100%. Right. We are tired of this. It was a good idea. It's mismanaged. They're not redfish. They're not, you know, these other fish that, yeah, they don't live. They don't, these other fish don't live and exist here. They come and they go. Snook stay. We want 40-inch minimum on our fish.
Yep, good.
And when you say breed once, you mean breed once as females, not as males.
Correct.
Yeah, because in case you guys don't know, the smaller fish start out male, then they turn female to...
Not all of them, but the vast majority.
The majority.
Yes.
And it's usually right around slot size that they're making that changeover.
Think of it as San Francisco. Not all of them, but the good majority.
The majority.
Of them. Yes.
Yeah, or a Fish and Frank's party.
No, pretty much it's the other way on that one. Although, Josh, you know, you have been coming to several of the parties, you do have that pretty side.
Well, and I stay sober, so I see what the rest of you guys are doing.
Mm.
Nice.
There's quiet.
Yeah.
Because you guys
it's
know.
Quiet.
Well, working our way over to the trestle there at Placida, the afternoon, evening fishing has been really, really well. A lot of scattered sharks, some mangrove snapper.
It was supposed to be laugh.
You got another one that you can try? Because that one kind of sucked.
That one did. It was bad. Okay, go ahead. Mangrove snappers, Placida trestle.
Some mangrove snapper. A few oddball Spanish mackerel coming through there. Not a lot, but a few. a lot of bigger snook and some redfish at night, along with an oddball tarpon. I mean, some big redfish, like 30-plus inchers coming through that the guys have been getting on.
And I have no idea what's up with that. They're along the beaches, you know, migrating right out to the beach. They're catching oversized redfish out there pretty much year-round now.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on with that. They're usually gone. They go to Louisiana, they go to the Carolinas, they go wherever. But this has been month after month of oversized big redfish right out in the near Gulf.
Right.
And they seem to be coming in and out of the passes as well, and it makes no sense.
Yeah, you always have your few oddball stragglers year after year that are around, but not in any consistent numbers that we're hearing about. You know, it's pretty unbelievable. I mean, even the big bull reds hanging around at the phosphate dock.
It would be nice on the redfish if they'd allow you a choice of the 18-27 that we have now, or like a 34 to 38, something like that, you know, allow you to have, you could either pick your day, you could either get the small redfish or one of the big monster redfish.
Well, and again, like you're talking about the snook, giving them a chance to lay at least one batch of eggs. With the redfish, 18 to 27 inches, they're still juveniles. They haven't spawned yet at all. Mm-hmm. So you're taking a fish that's never had a chance to reproduce.
But redfish are a whole different story because they don't actually grow up and live here. You know, they grow up and they go to other places and they only come back here to spawn, basically. So if you're going to take any, that's really the only shot we really have at them. So I'm not opposed to it on the redfish because of the different life habit they have. They grow up as babies here, then they go out in the Gulf, and they become reef fish. So, but we're getting enough of them now where we need to consider an either-or slot. Something, you know, you can take one of the small ones, or like the Carolinas, Louisiana, all that, where you can have a big one too. Or, either-or. You can't have a small one and a big one, but one or the other would be a great alternative to that. You know, okay, it's over 34 inches, you can have it. You know.
Right.
Follow you.
Yeah, I'm not 100% because I don't know enough about redfish as far as their breeding size. I know they're
it's okay.
traveling.
We've already figured out my word was God.
You're right.
We discussed this earlier, Robert. Yes. I don't know where we're going.
Right, but again, we decided that in the shop. So
he's getting excited. His breast is flashing.
No, it's just somebody calling.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure who this is.
Looking over there, the whole thing.
Right, he's flashing. Yes. Like he's got his backup sensor on or something. Yes.
So, you guys don't like me flashing you?
No, actually, it's not my favorite thing. Point image out. Image out, please. Where's the delete button? Okay. Anyway.
Going up towards Lemon Bay, there's been some scattered trout on the outside of the bar, you know, closer to the main channel, basically, in about 6 feet of water. A lot of those deeper grass flats, I mean, there's no good numbers of them, but they are a little bit better quality. The same thing, you know, it's inside. There has been a lot of guys talking about some of the bait fish showing up, and it's still little tiny stuff that it's not even worth messing with. At least give it a chance to breed once.
Well, they're talking about Jug Creek has a lot of bait on it. We'll get to that later. But
right.
If you're after Lemon Bay, I guess we got to do the passes. What's going up and down in the passes?
The passes are doing really, really good. The mangrove snapper bite has been phenomenal, and it's going to do nothing but get better over the next couple weeks because you got the June full moon and the July full moon and the August full moon are when they get into those big aggregates and move offshore and spawn, and and all sorts of snappers, mangrove snapper lanes, all of it. They start to really bunch up and get super aggressive with their feeding habits, and it's pretty impressive.
Trying to get out.
I'm fine. Noticed some microphone difficulties. It's fine. No worries. Everything's good.
There's also been a lot of tarpon moving in and out of there. Some days they're there all day long.
Stump bass, you've got some tarpon movement, but not a lot.
Not a lot
of snook movement in there.
Whole lot of snook movement.
Gasparilla pass, we've got better tarpon movement, not as many snook, but some nice redfish right around it.
Right.
Boca Grande Pass, we'll get to in a minute, but going down to Captiva, a lot of tarpon movement in Captiva.
A lot of tarpon.
A lot of grouper.
Good
snapper activity.
Real
and
good.
Redfish pass.
Same thing.
And then get down to Ponderosa, not as much tarpon again, more like
not
stump pass. We get a lot of snook, some redfish, a lot of snappers.
Well,
not
redfish
as much
pass,
tarpon.
You got all those snook too that bunch up in there around, what is that?
On the left side as you're going out.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it.
But redfish pass, a lot of snook through there.
Yeah.
Decent amounts of tarpon, but it seems to be the best tarpon activity right now is Captiva and Boca.
Yep.
And Boca Grande Pass, are they staying in more during the day?
Not the last 3 days.
Now, a few days ago, they were hanging in there all day.
Off and on all day, yeah. I mean, there was little groups leaving and little groups coming back in from off the beaches and up on the hill. But, you know, the last 3 days, they've been kind of popping in first thing in the morning from 5 until about 6 o'clock in the morning, then running right back up on top of the hill.
So, if you're going to go jigging in the tarpon and, you know, do the whole artificial thing,
right.
Is mornings, evenings, afternoons?
First light.
First light.
I'd want to be out there at 5 o'clock in the morning. I wouldn't want to be getting out there when the light's coming up. I want to be there at 5 o'clock while it's still dark.
Okay. And are colors making a difference?
It's been so far the tried and true, the old faithful one that's been most consistent has been the redhead with the green, the green tiger.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the most consistent one, but a few guys have been experimenting a little bit. I've had a couple guys come in and buy the DOA cows in the lighter colors. They've started going to some of the real light colors for some reason.
Gotcha.
And then what's that other, the mirror lure.
Oh, yeah. The
Little John.
Right, the Little John and the...
Three different guys buy that one that's got the... It's like a light purplish silver with the glitter in it. Super clear. I'd call it a glass minnow, basically.
Gotcha.
I had a couple guys buy those, so I don't know if that's been working well, but...
I'm sure it is. If they're getting it, they saw somebody using it. Yeah. And the hard part about it, it's like watching a bass tournament.
Right.
Because the guys come up to the dock, and that's not what they were fishing with.
No.
They have re-rigged. They've got different baits on, usually the ones they're getting paid to use.
Yes.
Or, you know, and...
It's on my shirt. We got to put it back on the rod.
Right. So they take off what they've been using and put on whatever they think people want to see when they get back up to the dock, so you don't know what they're really doing. But that's like watching a bass tournament. But now for the live bait guys, how's the beaches doing on tarpon right now?
The beaches have been really inconsistent. It's been a patience game because they're not seeing the big schools that are normally out there. There's just been a few here and a few there. So most of the guys have been really staging up and just kind of sitting and waiting for the fish to come to them.
It's all ambush.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys have been sitting there at Gasparilla Pass on both the north and south side of the channel at various distances. Some of the guys are even running up as far as Stump Pass and even up beyond that. I guess Phil Duggar was up around there the other day cruising around looking for some fish out there, but he was really pretty close to shore from what I understand.
Yeah, there's a lot of the guys at this time of year, they're looking in that 6, 8, 10 feet of water, maybe 15 tops, because A, they're easier to see, and B, if they're cruising that shoreline, they're probably more looking to feed. And when they're outside, they're usually traveling more.
Right.
So now you can go down and in front of Cayo Costa, Captiva, Sanibel, there are tarpon moving back and forth, but it's a sit and wait game.
Yeah.
Because you're going to burn a lot of gas and not do any better than if you just park it, anchor up, and wait for them.
Exactly.
Now, coming around to the inside, getting up on the hill, which is Boca Grande Pass, when you come inside the harbor, you go through the intercoastal, and then there's kind of the hill there on both sides of the intercoastal, and that, by the hill, we mean just inside Boca Grande Pass, up to about Jug Creek Shoals, and taking line over to Bull Bay.
Yeah, exactly, and that 12 to 18 feet of water, basically, is what those guys have been primarily fishing.
And
those fish are scattered.
You're out there, you want to use a breakaway?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You want to drop a jig right inside the middle.
No, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the live bait.
Oh, yeah.
Weren't they the ones that got arrested for using breakaways?
Yeah.
Well, I'm still waiting for FWC to send me those citations, but it looks like we've got at least 4 citations for breakaway gear this year so far.
Yeah, a couple of jigs and several live bait guys. Yeah, a couple of live bait, a couple of the jigs.
Yeah, I think it's equal so far. Yeah,
but
exactly.
If you come inside up on the hill, you're going to see big clusters of boats here and there. Try to get away from those, and the tarpon are going to be moving all the way back and forth. They're going to be going from the pass out to there. They're going to be going north and south along that area. You don't have to join the pack of boats. Think of it like Boca Grande Pass. You don't have to be in that big giant cluster. The fish are moving all over. Watch. They go from here. They go to there. They go to there. Pick a road less traveled, and you're going to do better. If you can get out away from some of those big things, you'll find your own little pod, 6 to 20 fish in it, and that's where you're going to get your good shot at the tarpon. But try and get in front of them. And the way to do that is fire up, run, you know, as soon as you see them, figure out the direction, get your boat, ease it up, don't slam the throttle, ease it up, get up, shut it down in front of them, get quiet like a hole in the water, and when those fish, when you see them start coming after you, either if your motor's idling, leave it idle. Don't change the tempo of the outboard. Right. If you're using an electric motor, just do what you got to do to stay in front of those fish. But keeping in front of them, presenting your baits back to them, that's been the key this year.
Yep. And lately, I guess it's been primarily a crab bite in the early morning and a threadfin bite in the afternoon the last 2 days, maybe even 3 days now.
Now, what about artificials for those fish?
DOA bait busters, the storm swim baits, and those power baits. You know, those power baits, we've been selling quite a few of those lately, so I think they're
the whole reason we got in that big load of power baits, because everybody's asking for them. They've got the smell, it gets the human smell away from them.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that important that it smells like fish-wise, but it does take the human scent off.
Right.
And that's where the power baits outshine in the storm on that.
Right, absolutely.
But you control them. You can cast them, and there's a whole bunch of different ways, but if you're casting them, let it fall, jig it up hard, a couple of slow cranks on it, let your rod tip fall back down, get it going up and down.
Right.
Try, you know, once you get in that 4 to 6 foot of water, you're better off with a straight out swim, nice kind of start and stop, but not so much jigging. But when you're in 12, 15 feet of water, get it down, bring it back up, and give it time to fall again.
Right.
Most of the guys, they're so busy jigging it, and they think they're working it deep, but they're 3 feet under the surface.
Right.
Got to give it time to fall.
Yeah,
that's
critical.
Yeah, let it
sink all the way to the bottom.
Swim
the
mullet.
When the fish hit those artificials, are they hitting them on the drop, or are they hitting them on the
drop? That's the booger, because all of a sudden you come up like you're going to jig, and now you're connected.
Yep.
And it's hard to get that hook set when you've got all that slack in the line. So you got to be, you throw 20, 30, 50, 60 times, and all of a sudden, there it is. You got to be ready. You can't, as soon as you back off and you get a little, okay, lackadaisical, I'm going to cast and cast, I'm not going to catch anything, that's when you get hit.
Yeah, don't think about your next cast. Work on what you're doing now.
Yeah.
Critical need to know information, nicely put.
I like that.
And, but, that kind of takes through the... through the tarp, and but now jumping out into the Gulf has been spectacular from what I hear.
Really awesome, and especially with this weekend coming up, I'm even though I'm not a big fan of being offshore, it's kind of a little jealous. It's supposed to be phenomenal out there weather-wise. So yeah, that with the spectacular fishing that's going on, it's pretty unbelievable. The mangrove snappers are all over any one of the nearshore reefs from 3 miles to 25 miles. There's just some really phenomenal mangrove snapper going on. The red grouper bite has been doing best at like 20 to 40 miles out. I mean, you got guys catching red grouper up to, you know, 30, 34 inches, pretty decent size. And then there's also been permit scattered all over the place from one reef to the other. But they are pretty elusive, so you just never know where you're going to run into them next at.
Yeah, I'm looking at fishingfranks.com. For some reason, my internet is acting like I have a dial-up connection. I don't know what's going on. But
there it is.
Okay.
Something.
Oh, yeah,
up.
Ones and twos. That's just, I mean, no waves at all for the next several days. That's the 8th, the 9th. I've got the, you know, tie or the wave height thing on here, and... looking at it, there is nothing for the next several days. No waves at all. Beautiful time to get out in the Gulf.
Right.
And if you go to fishingfranks.com, then click weather and tides and go on to waves in the Gulf. And it's got a color chart that shows you. But it's flat. It's calm. Now, there's some in the Atlantic, but nothing on our side. So really, really, like you say, great time to get out in the Gulf. And for all you small boaters, the people with the, you know, little boats, Novak, Trembley, Mary's, the Power Pole, you should have great days out there.
Right, absolutely.
Number one rule, don't let a storm get between you and land. So yes. If you see the thunderstorms building in the afternoon, get your butt back in.
Right.
Get out early, get out before the storms, have a great day fishing. Porgies, grunts, grouper, amberjack, cobia, permit. I mean, a lot of it out there.
Yeah.
Triple tail.
Yeah,
and I'll pass on a question I was asked earlier today. How's the red snapper bite been on those nearshore reefs?
It's non-existent.
Terrible.
Yeah, there is no. You got to get out there. Everybody gets excited about the red snapper bite. That's for the East Coast because you can catch those fish. You get out 3 miles, you're in 600, 1,000 feet of water. But we don't have that here.
Yeah.
We got the big sand bowl caused by the meteorite that killed the dinosaurs and blew a bunch of sand up here. We live on the edge of the crater of the, you know, meteorite blast, and it's just sand.
Which you can get to deep enough water. You just have to really want to.
130 feet of water plus. That's pretty much the magic number for those guys. So you're looking at 45.
You can still find them in 60, 80 feet of water, but
yeah,
not very many.
Yeah, but they're going to be about the size of the mangrove snapper you can catch at ponds.
So it's just... you know, it's not a big thing for us on the West Coast here when the state opens red snapper.
Yeah.
On the East Coast, it's a much bigger thing.
Yeah.
But for us on the West Coast, it's kind of, okay, they did it. All right, great. Thanks, Tallahassee.
Yeah.
But we have to wait for the feds to do it. When the feds do it, that's when we get to go out and enjoy them out in the Gulf. But great fishing out in the Gulf.
Yeah, there's a lot of pelagics out there, too. Some of the guys are getting into some really nice blackfin tuna. Few dolphins starting to show up.
Oh, yeah, mahi mahi out there, blackfin tuna.
Yeah,
it's all good stuff.
Wouldn't surprise me if the sails were around. If they're around, they, you know, the sails have got to be around. So.
Yeah, people don't count this coast in on sailfish and the billfish, but
no,
we have a very good fishery for that. It's just 35, 40 miles out.
Right. Exactly.
But when you go in the Atlantic, I take 18 foot boat out in the Atlantic 40 miles and never even think about it.
Yeah.
But
here it's holy crap different.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame. But amberjacks, amicos, greater, lesser amberjacks, all kinds of stuff. Guys got 55-inch amberjack a little while ago. So monster fish out there.
Yeah, yeah, it's been really, really pretty impressive.
And so coming back in, let's come up through. You heard anything in the Caloosahatchee? I know that
nothing.
Those bridges down there, that whole end down by Ponoras has got a lot of snook in it.
Yeah.
And the tarpon are going in and out of it. I know they come up because up by Matt Lachey, we've been seeing a lot of tarpon coming through the Matt Lachey bridges and stuff. And it's starting to light up at night.
Yeah.
And between the snook
bridge
and the tarpon.
Has been doing real good at night. That's about it.
I haven't heard anything about the railroad trestle, the 41 bridges, or, you know, nothing. Colonial or any of that, but I know Cape Coral's been doing pretty good. But Matt Lachey, St. James City, we've got a lot of redfish in that area.
Yeah, like you said, a lot of tarpon moving in and out throughout there, a lot of the redfish scattered. Still some scattered snook along there, especially going down there towards Ponarasa along those shorelines and a lot of those docks. You know,
I'd say better than scattered. I would say really good. I think it's really good snook fishing right now. Coming up to the Indian Fields, just north of Matt Lachey, we've got great redfish over there. If you go across the other side from Two Pines down to the other ice house over there, you got a lot of good fish through that area, redfish-wise.
Right. You know, and still a few oddball snook, a lot of small sharks to even some bigger sharks right on the outside edges of the bar there.
And always one of my places to go look for tarpon is right off Two Pines, between Burnt Star and Two Pines in that 6-8 feet of water. It's always been kind of a go-to, all right, I don't want to deal with anybody else. I go look around the outside of that sandbar. Really, I'd take it all the way from Pirate Harbor down to Two Pines outside the bar.
Yeah, it's a real good spot for that. And sharks, too. I mean, we've gotten some really, really good quality sharks along that entire stretch, too.
And then if you go around Jug Creek, and I want to pass that up, because there's a lot of bait in Jug Creek right now, a lot of white bait down there. Not a lot of big stuff, but a lot of white bait. You know, like you say, it's going to be there. They're going to use it. And the only way this will ever rectify itself out is, you know, no cast nets from May, June, July, August.
Right.
You know, we need 4 months with no cast nets down here. And of any kind. No mullet nets, no cast nets, no cast nets, period.
Right.
Just done. Sabiki up the thread fins you need for the tarpon and everything else, and leave everything else grow up. Let it spawn once, and we'll have bait forever. No problem catching bait, because bait only lives a year and a half, 2 years, entire lifestyle. You know what I mean? It seems like a short thing, but then humans only live 100 years, and out of billions of years of the planet, we're pretty short-lived, too. So, you know, but, you know, no problem catching bait, but we do have to grow it up. Let it grow up, rather.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, anyway, coming back up.
Well, while you're over there, there's a lot of redfish and snook all around Patricio and Mondongo.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of those.
I love saying Mondongo. Mondongo.
A lot of those sandbars and stuff holding the same
Patricio,
thing.
Patricio, Mondongo. Patricio Mondongo. I don't know why. It just tickles me. Okay,
it
anyway.
An interesting name.
Yes.
There's also been some scattered bigger sharks on the outside edges of those sandbars there and over towards Pelican Bay.
And some of the best snook fishing on the planet. But Ralph Jones.
Yeah.
If you're not Ralph Jones, it's hard to do it.
Yeah.
Ralph Jones is a local guide, but he's kind of like a local legend. And Ralph Jones can go out there and find these 40-50-inch snook there. He's just unbelievable.
And gets them to chew on top of that.
Yeah, it's just crazy. But for the rest of us mere humans, there is a lot of big snook there. I don't know how you're going to catch them. I really don't. I wish I did.
Good luck.
Yeah. So
just no three-eyed shrimp.
Yeah, three-eyed shrimp will do it.
Yeah. Keep those for other things.
And make sure they're male. Just hold them up and shake them. You can figure it out. Okay.
Yeah, Barb knows about that.
When you get over the east side of the harbor, we're going from Pirate Harbor area. We've got just outside the bar, of course, on and off tarpon.
Lots and lots of little sharks. I mean, that entire stretch from even south of Burnt Star, up to the southern tip. Like if you were to head straight in from the southern tip of the Alligator Creek Reef and go directly towards the shoreline, hit that 4 to 6 feet of water and work your way south, that is just loaded with a lot of miscellaneous sharks in all sizes. Bonnet heads, black tips, bigger bowls, smaller bowls. It's kind of a good variety in all the sizes.
Yeah.
There's also been some cobia scattered out along there on the outside of the bar along with those tarpon. But from Burnt Store up to Hobbs Point, that whole shoreline there has had a few decent redfish, some bigger snook. The canal right there going into Hobbs Point has got some bigger mangrove snapper, some oddball bigger redfish, but scattered all throughout it. And then walking right up to the Pirate Harbor area in the back behind Hobbs Point, some bigger mangrove snapper, lots of scattered redfish, juvenile tarpon even have been up there on those flats too. And then, I mean, and most of those guys are catching them on cut ladyfish and shrimp. I mean, even though they are starting to find some white bait, even the guys have been finding some pretty good success cutting the pinfish up. You know, just chunked up pinfish have been starting to work real well.
Well, we've got a pretty broad variety. Before we get up to the PGI canals, let's drop out to the middle of the harbor. We got the deep holes, we got the reefs. Reefs have a lot of spade fish on them right now.
A lot of spade fish,
number one fun fish for kids.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're taking kids out fishing, let's go spade fish.
Yeah. If you don't want to catch a little sharks and you want to do something that's handleable, easy, everything else, definitely the spade fish.
Isn't it tough to get a jellyfish on the hook, though?
True.
Actually, pieces of peeled shrimp meat. On a crappie jig is the number one way to take a regular little marabou hair crappie jig or even a swim tail. It doesn't really matter. Small 1/8 ounce, 1/16 ounce crappie jigs, little number 6 gold wire hook. Put a little tiny piece of peeled shrimp meat on it. Take a knife, slice your shrimp into less than 1/4 inch pieces, and just tip the point of the hook with it. And you cast it at a school of spade fish and just work it like you would a crappie, and they'll just beat the snot out of it, and you'll have a great time. And my ideal thing is a crappie rod with, you know, 2 to 4 pound mono on it and some 15 pound mono leader, because you do get some aggressive spade fish, and some of the bigger ones will chew through that real light line. But if you you really don't need the leader that much unless there's a lot of other fish there, because they'll stay on the crappie jig just fine.
And how's your edibility on those spades? I've never tried eating one, but I've heard very mixed things.
Really, really tough to clean. Very leather-like skin, and if you can get them filleted. Now, there's a guy I got to go, and he's going to teach me how to do. It's a different way of filleting a fish. It's actually going from the bottom up. And once I learn that, I'm going to try and do some videos about that. I've been trying to get this video thing to work. I can't do it. But
I'd be curious to see that.
Once I get that, I'm pretty sure that's going to work on them. But the meat's a little gray, but it's not fishy tasting at all. It's just it's a little more bold, but it's good meat.
It's a targeted game fish in the Carolinas.
Yeah,
middle of Georgia all the way up to the Carolinas. I mean, yeah, they run 30 miles offshore to go fish for them.
So it's good with grits.
Yeah, good with grits. Yep, yeah. Fish and grits.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
and like Josh was talking about, you know, he was saying, how do you put a jellyfish on? A lot of people don't realize those little tiny round jellyfish you catch in your cast net all the time, that is their primary diet.
Well, there should be a billion of them, because half a year.
You would think.
Between sea turtles and spade fish are the two things I know that eat a lot of those single-celled jellyfish, the big glow-in-the-dark ones. What's really fun about those, they won't burn your hand. You know, because your hand is pretty tough. You're going to use your hands all the time. And so you scoop one up with your hand, and then you come up to your buddy, and you slap it in his armpit. Wow. And put them, you know, like in the crease in their elbow or up in their armpit, and then watch them jump around, and it starts burning pretty good. And then just say, wash it off, and keep splashing water on there. And the more water you put on, the more it's going to burn.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe this is why I don't fish with you.
As soon as you dry it off, it quits burning instantly.
Yeah.
You just need to take a towel and dry them off, and the burning will stop, and there's no ill effects. But it's more fun to keep telling them, wash it off, and you just keep, and then maybe
drink water
a little
with that hot sauce, that'll work.
Yeah. But it's fun.
Absolutely.
Yes, I know I'm cool, but I enjoy it.
I really, really do. Yeah, the word that came to mind was nut burgers, not cruel.
Nut burgers. Yes. Wow. Ooh. Okay. All right. I get it. I take the hint, you know. I was born, you know, to play bass. I'm not going to be the lead instrument. It's okay. So anyway, we're going through the harbor. We're talking about spade fish at the Alligator Creek Reef and the Cape Hayes Reef. What's going on in the deep holes?
deep holes have been scattered with some tarpon.
Can you imagine why does anybody listen to this show? I mean, it's like, why would you bother? It takes you an hour to hear what we could say in 5 minutes.
Well, it's for the same reason that people will mine for gold. You have to work your way through 1,000 tons of rock to get that one nugget that you were looking for.
That's a
Fish and Frank's gold mine fishing show.
Yes. I like that. That's a good analogy.
Yes. So anyway, you were saying, Robert, you were talking about fishing. How dare you?
Tarpon have been scattered up and down inside the 20-foot holes, and most of them have been more towards the evening time. There has been a few in the early mornings. Lots of scattered sharks, not as heavy as you would think they would be out in those middle holes. Most of them are along the edges of the bars like we talked about earlier. There's a few guys that are still kind of slow trolling around there and picking up an oddball Spanish mackerel and an oddball cobia. But most of that stuff's been right around structure. You know, any of the channel markers or the Alligator Creek Reef or the Cape Hayes Reef have been by far your most predominant areas. But going back to what we talked about in the beginning with our shark tournament, lots and lots of catfish, and there has been some really big stingrays out there in some of those deeper holes. So the guys that have been trying to shark fish and fishing right on the bottom been getting some 3 and 4 foot size stingrays.
Cool.
You know, and the leopard ray started showing up recently a little bit more too. So
now I'm going to call for the shark tournament, the catfish and stingray tournament. If I was going to go out and look for that big stingray, that winning stingray, I'm going to go off Cape Hayes and use a big chunk of bait. I mean, the size of both fists.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
and I don't want, you know, something half the size of my fist. I want a bait that's, you know, let's say 6 inches by 5 inches, I mean a big chunk of bait, like a big chunk of bonita, and stick it down there in the bottom and wait for one of those monsters. You want something so big it takes a giant ray to get it.
Right.
Half a bonita, half of a 4 pound bonita, and you got a 2 pound mullet, just clip the tail off, just chop them right behind the head and get something big and wait for that big one. Don't get excited about hitting the line when you hear the clicker going little bits here. That's little fish taking off. Wait till it really runs. And usually with a bigger fish, you want it to run, you hear it going zzz, 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 and then you hear that pause. And once it pauses, the next time it takes off, that's when you hit them. Because with that big bait, they got to get it in their mouth, they pick it up, they're kind of running with it, okay, it's not moving, all right, they stop, they turn around, they go to start swallowing it, and they take off again, and that's when you hit them. But don't get too concerned about those little pulls in the bait. That's a smaller fish trying to drag it around. All he's doing is bringing attention so that the big fish will know that there's something that he can eat there.
Right, breaking up some scent and commotion and everything else, absolutely.
But if I'm looking for that big stingray, that winning stingray, it's going to be probably on the western side of Cape Hayes, 3/4 of the way out. And I'm going to say about 6 feet of water, 8 feet of water. Those big stingrays come up there in the evening, and the shark tournament doesn't even start till 3:30. By the time you get on the water, it's going to be 5 o'clock. Right. You know, so you're going to catch that evening bite and get that big stingray right there. That's going to be, you know, $800 or maybe $1,000, depending on how many people get in.
And no gigging, right?
No. In Harmony. I'll take the upper fifth.
No.
Okay. All right. And yeah, you got to use them hook and line and bait.
Yep.
And you can't jug for sharks. A lot of people, we had one guy do that one year. He took out barrels and he was going to do barrel fishing for sharks. I'm got a big one in a barrel, and well, it's on a barrel. You can't catch it. You can't keep it.
Right.
It's got to be hook and lined. Regular fishing rules apply.
Right.
So, catfish.
Catfish now, are scattered all over in there.
Historically, winners. Stump Pass, Placida, PGI.
PGI, even a few on occasion have been Eljo Bean.
Yeah, there's going to be some big catfish caught this year.
I think so.
I've heard of some monster catfish being caught for the,
for the numbers of people talking about what they're catching out there accidentally, I think this is going to be a pretty good year for some really big catfish.
Well, I think the one thing is everybody's so catch and release oriented. It's worked its way into the catfish. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing bigger and bigger and bigger catfish every year.
Yeah.
And I think it's not going to be long before another record's broken. Because years ago, people would catch and kill the catfish. And now they catch and release the catfish.
Right.
And
which is not a bad thing. I mean, if you're not going to eat the thing, and I'll eat a sail cat in a heartbeat. Yeah. But if you're not going to eat it, why kill it in the first place?
Exactly. So,
well, I remember when people would kill redfish. Because it was a saltwater carp. It wasn't edible. It's no good. Just they would just throw it on the bank trying to get them dang carp out of the water because they weren't good for anything.
My grandpa told me the same thing about black people, what they used to do with them.
They'd
just kill them because they were no good. They'd just hang them in the trees. And, you know, we stopped that. So, you know.
You just never know where anything's going to go in this.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Horrible visuals.
I don't get it. But anyway.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, things that used things to be common practice,
yes.
We realize, hey, wait a minute, we probably shouldn't be doing that. So we stopped.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. Wow. Okay. I'm going to have to, I don't know where we're going to go from there, but I think it's the PGI canals.
PGI canal it is. Lots of juvenile tarpon moving around throughout the entire canal system. Some bigger black drum.
I can't. Okay. Yeah, no. Anyway, yeah. Okay. PGI, we got some small tarpon back in the canals.
Especially around the snook lights. I mean, there's still.
I'm looking at you. I'm not even making eye contact over there.
I don't even know. Trying to do the same thing.
Okay.
A lot of the snook have moved out, but there still are quite a few snook in there. So a lot of the juvenile tarpon have kind of moved into their places. Some bigger black.
It's like a car wreck. You can't help but look. So anyway, a lot of tarp back in the canals. Big black drum.
Still some pretty decent mangrove snapper. Not as good as it was where it was scattered all over the place. It's been so hit or miss.
I mean, I have a pond story.
Okay.
Brian Gleason, who works for the newspaper, he is our editorial page editor. If you don't know him, he's usually kind of a commie, pinko, liberal, weenie kind of guy. But he also fishes, so we put up with all that other crap. I've been trying to teach him some of the finer points of fishing. Like
of being politically correct, right?
Well, like things like, for example, how to tie a uni knot. Things like don't use your same monofilament from 12 years ago that's on your reel. You know, change your line out every now and then. Anyway, he went fishing at Ponce Park a few days ago, and he was fishing for whatever happened to be biting, and he was using a J-hook, probably 6/8-aught, something like that.
Jesus.
And he was having a problem because the fish kept stripping his bait, and he figured, oh, it's just pinfish or grunts or something out there. So he decided to switch to what I would call a normal-sized hook, but what he thought was something very small, perhaps a number 1 or a 1/0. And he threw it out there, and he hooked into a fish and broke his line because he's still using his 12-year-old monofilament very quickly. But he got to hear his drag sing, and he was very excited by that, and he figured, well, I'm going to try that again. So he did the same exact thing, threw it out there again, and this time his monofilament held, his drag sang, and he caught a 20-inch redfish. And he was so excited that he caught that redfish. And I said, so what did you learn? And he said, well, I learned not to use 12-year-old monofilament. And I said, and what did you learn about hooks? What do you mean? And I said, you have to use a hook that fits in the fish's mouth. Oh, yeah, I guess so. So...
Well,
that's what's going on at Ponce, is there are commie liberal pinkos out there trying to fish with hooks that are far too large and learning lessons, which they can apply later in life.
Yes, it's always good to learn that from those commie pinko type guys there, yes. Okay.
Wow.
Boy, hey, I've known the guy for 20 years, so I can be this way with him.
No, it's all good.
We've
got to keep these commie pinkos in line. You know, I mean, they're going to have long hair and everything.
He's not
nearly
as liberal as he used to be. Yeah. He's settled down quite a bit.
Yes.
Wow. If you've read him over the years.
I remember when, there was the long-haired commie pinkos. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
I didn't realize you were old enough to know those phrases. You know, you don't have enough gray in your beard.
He's a plethora of knowledge.
I'm what you call well-read.
Yeah.
Rounded.
Well-rounded, yeah, that's why Robert had to give me the more padded chair.
Okay.
Wasn't going there.
All right. Hey, I don't know where all this goes, but it goes somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, now, for those of you still listening, my condolences, and anyway, what did we forget anything?
Not really. I mean, that's... pretty much sums it up. The PGI canals have been a little spotty. I mean, one spot's really phenomenal and the next one just terrible, and there's not really any rhyme or reason to it lately.
All right. So kind of in a synopsis, if you're going to take a bunch of kids out, pieces of peeled shrimp meat, small hooks out by the reefs, a lot of spade fish out there. If you want something a little more challenging, drop out to the holes. There's a lot of smaller sharks there, anywhere from 18 inch to 4 foot.
Right.
And at the same time, you're likely to hook up a cobia or a tarpon. And right. for those bigger tarpon, you want to get more involved in it, get out towards the hill, which is just inside of Boca Raton Pass. Look for a quiet spot.
Right.
And look for a pot of tarpon going.
Yeah, look for your own individual little group of fish. There's enough of them out there where you don't have to make yourself crazy with the rest of the people.
Yeah, it's, you know, my my wife has the thing on there. Her ringtone for me is the Lone Ranger, and it. Yeah, I know. But when you go out, you know, it's not as bad as the, you know, the March of the Emperor for the Star Wars.
That is most that your ringtone for her?
No, hers, I've got, it's a fishing song. I forget what it is, but picture her holding a fish.
I was thinking maybe You're Not the Boss of Me from Malcolm in the Middle.
No, it wouldn't be true at all. So anyway, some great fishing to go on, and we've got some good, and the state's got a couple free weekends in June, or a free weekend for saltwater and free weekend for freshwater.
This weekend is free saltwater license.
This weekend?
Yeah.
This weekend is?
Yeah.
It's what?
Like starting today?
Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday, yeah. Saturday and Sunday this weekend is free.
And then next weekend is free freshwater, the 14th and 15th.
Yep. I'm going to get all that posted up, so we're going to be putting all that up. You can come in, Kale. We're just wrapping up. So
now there's a guy who's well-rounded.
Yes, Kale's very well-rounded.
But here's a pop.
All right, well, I think...
put stripes on you to see if you're walking or rolling.
Wow.
Oh, man. This is getting hurtful. I mean, just hurtful.
Hey, I don't care. We're going to go catch a tarpon under the bridge.
Yes.
What do I care? These are just words.
All right, well... I think we're going to let Bobby get us out of this one.
Up this morning before the sun, grab my gear to get some fishing done. Jump in my pickup, give her a
Mix
crank.
Bob.
I got a talk with Fishing Frank.
Yeah, that is Bob.
Fishing Frank is the guy who knows where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is Fishing Frank.
That didn't rhyme.
The tackle and the know-how to.
Don't pick on Bobby's song.
To share with you.
Not allowed.
Guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to Fishing Frank's.
Now that one rhymes.
See?
You gotta go to Fishing Frank's. The one who knows his fishing.
Listen to the woman. She's, you know, this is Bobby. She's cool.
It's pretty awesome. That's the first I've heard that.
So we're going to be doing a few other versions of that, and we're still trying to figure out some other stuff. But I guess that pretty much sums up the fishing show for today and our fishing report. Anything to add, Mr. Josh, the publisher of Waterline Magazine?
This is a fishing show?
Yeah, well, we forget that occasionally. But anything, Robert?
Nope, just go out and enjoy the beautiful weekend.
All right, and remember, it's a free weekend, guys. You don't need a license. So if you got family, friends who you just want to get the experience out there for fishing, grab them up, take them out in the boat, and catch a bunch of fish and get them addicted, you know, get them into this, you know. And especially if they're golfers, because they tend to be addictive anyway.
Right.
So that'll really do it for them.
Just tell them you can't throw the rod in the water when you miss a hookup.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same as a golf club.
Yeah, you can find the golf club.
Yeah.
All right, well, Fishing Frank, Josh Olive, and Robert, and thank you guys for listening. We'll see you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.